Hello and good day, everyone. It's Kevin Finkel here, and this is another episode of Magic: The First Pioneers podcast. It's a podcast all about the Pioneer MTG format, and we're here to keep our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer. I'm joined by my co-host and another special guest.
Hello, everybody. This is Ryan coming at you. I was going to say live again. I'm coming at you live my time now, but actually it's recorded for you from the Tokyo area of Japan. And our guest is, I guess you said you wanted us to introduce you as Ekeros MTG. Is that okay?
Yes, that's absolutely fine.
All right, so tell us.
So you guys may know him as a streamer, as an MTG player. What do you want to say about yourself, your Magic career? Give us a quick spiel of why our listeners should be listening to you as a go-to source for Pioneer information.
So, as you mentioned, I am Ekeros, or Amit. It's my actual name, and I'm from Israel. I started playing Magic about 12 years ago in Norwin, been playing competitively for 10 of them. And I've been playing Pioneer ever since the format was introduced to us. I've been playing a lot of different decks, had some success with different archetypes, and I play the format on a daily basis. So hopefully this gives me some info about what's good and what's bad in the format right now.
So like why?
Excellent, yeah.
I was going to say, why do you play? Like, why did you decide to pick up Pioneer and to keep playing Pioneer?
I think it was mostly the excitement from a new format. You just don't get that a lot in Magic. We did have that a lot in the past couple of years, but I was just so excited to try a new format, and they let me play with Copter, which is one of my favorite cards. So I just played that until they told me I can't do it anymore, and then I was hooked. So I just kept playing.
So do you think you're a big brewer, or usually like to set out to solve a format, especially something new like this?
So I usually think about myself, I love to brew, but I don't think I'm an excellent brewer as much as I'm a really good tuner. So I'm not making up decks, but I do like taking established decks and innovating in them to make them, I think and I hope, better in the format.
So I wanted
like that a lot. Yeah,
I wanted to ask.
Sorry, keep interrupting you, Ryan.
Sorry, I mean, I wanted to ask a little bit more about your MTG history, because I saw on your Twitter page that you were national champ in 2018. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. And technically, I still am a national champ, because we haven't had national championships since.
The reigning national champ. So yeah. Do you have any other like big finishes, you know, either on MTGO or, you know, in paper? Like, what other big, you know, accomplishments do you have in your Magic career?
Yeah, so in Israel, I've been top eighting, you know, I've been top eighting like PDQs and national championships for a few years. And then I won the national championships in 2018. And on the same year, I was on Israel, on the Israeli team with Shachar Shenhar and Yuval Zuckerman in the World Magic Cup. And we ended up second place. We lost to the French guys in the finals, which was an amazing experience. So that was really good. And I have a few 5-0s on Magic Online. I have a few top 8s and challenges, PTQs. Just been trying to do my best. It's really tough. Online is stacked.
Who would you consider your rival online?
Oh, wow.
is it Claudio's five-color Niv-Mizzet deck? Or?
No, Claudio crushes me when we play. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't actually play Claudio a lot, but I do tend to run into Mattia Rizzi and Thiago Saporito a lot. And I don't know if it's actually a rivalry, but it's just nice, you know, when I meet them, I probably know what they're playing, and they're really good players. So it's always like an interesting and tough matchups. And, these are the players I've run into a lot online, I guess.
Yeah, and you're certainly right that it is a lot of stacked players on MTGO, on playing Pioneer even.
Yeah, yeah. It sometimes even feels like a GP day 2 or like a PT day 1 or something, when you just run into pro player after pro player. It's kind of tough.
So I was thinking about, you know, we don't have paper Magic right now, and the format is relying a lot, and especially since it's a new format, the format's relying a lot on MTGO and, you know, basically all these online results. Do you ever kind of feel that you are shaping the Pioneer metagame, you know, with how, you know, the decks you play and the finishes that you get?
So I love this question because it comes at a really good timing for me. Usually I don't think, like, I do think people see what I play and they take it into account. But recently I think it's been more prominent because I've been playing Vampires. And it's not exactly a tier one deck, but I've been having a lot of success with it. And you can see more and more results popping up. So I do feel like I can take at least some credit for that, especially when I know, like, most of the players playing it and I talk to them about the list. So I do feel it, like, in this sense, I am, to an extent, shaping some of the metagame. But the metagame is so complicated and moving so fast. I don't think one person really, you know, have a great effect on it as much as an aggregated effect of a lot of people playing.
Yeah, before we had the GPs or the Magic Fest, and after every top eight, after every, you know, event, people would rush out and buy those cards, and we just don't have that anymore.
Yeah, it's
I was gonna say they're going online and they're saying, you know, what were these 5-0 lists, and, you know, the mocks, you know, the Magic Online Championships, which are coming up this weekend. I believe they're playing Pioneer.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, or they're looking at the league, you know, results from Pioneer.
Yeah, checking the 5-0 like deck dump that comes up every few days, and prelim results is really definitely a big factor shaping the metagame. I know I've been looking forward to, like, the times where they post a deck list so I can scour them and see what's new in the format.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any other...
Yeah, and I will bring it up later, but, you know, a lot of good ways to follow that if you guys are listening right now and you're like, huh, I should be following that. I mean, we've got an MTG Pioneer Reddit. There's a Discord attached to that, and we've got some people that always regularly post those results with a little bit of help, you know, saying, hey, here are the main deck types, here are a few of, like, the breakout of what the archetypes are, so you don't have to kind of roll through it yourself and get an idea. MTG Goldfish is also another good place where they'll usually post a lot of those lists that are updated.
Kevin, did you have any other questions, or is it okay if we jump into the next topic?
No, feel free to jump in. I think that we've definitely established that we've got an expert on our hands. Let's use him for everything we can, and you know, get some ideas, like whatever our listeners want to hear about, or anything that you want to talk about as far as the format, especially from really the professional point of view, you know, pro player point of view.
So I got another question. I wouldn't say another question. I have for our next topic. I heard that you were getting ready for a PTQ this weekend. Is that correct?
Yes, it is correct. And a little less than 2 days from now.
So it's not the mocks, it's just the PTQ for Pioneer.
Yeah, it's a good old proper old-fashioned PTQ. As far as I know, I can't follow the organized play system anymore.
I see. Yeah, I don't know what's going on in organized play. So you're getting ready for this big event. So my next topic I want to talk about is preparation. When you have a big event, how are you going about preparing for this? You know, what kind of practice do you do? What kind of testing do you do? That sort of thing.
So the first thing I want to do is usually try to identify, at least to some extent, like, how the metagame is going to look like. Now, it's not going to be... I think the metagame is always going to be really wide, so you can't really just prepare for one or two single decks. So it's more of getting a feeling of what's going to see play, what am I likely to face in the first rounds and then in the last rounds, like, what's the metagame and what's the winner's metagame. And then I try to figure out if I have any, like, decks that pop up to me that attack this metagame in a really good way. Then I probably just pick these decks up, like, two or three decks. You can't realistically test more than these. And I run a couple of leagues with each. Now, the leagues are mostly to get a feel for the deck, because the metagame in leagues is actually different than the metagame that you usually end up seeing on premier events. Mm-hmm. And then I'll try to narrow these decks down to, you know, like, maybe hopefully one deck, but maybe two decks that I think are well positioned for the weekend. I will say, though, that I think that a big part in succeeding in Pioneer relies on you knowing your deck really well. And it's a mistake I've made in the past where I just would like audible to a different deck at the last minute, and it would be good for the metagame. But since I don't have enough reps with it, I don't end up being doing as good as I hope to do. So I think I try to narrow down decks, but eventually I want to end up in a spot where I know my deck really, really well. And I know it's just like fine in the metagame and hopefully good in the metagame.
Mm. Another thing I saw you posting about recently, you're talking about like a proactive deck or a reactive deck. Which type would you say do well in the Pioneer format?
I would say it's almost, I don't want to say exclusively, it's too strong of a word, but I would definitely want to be on the proactive side of Pioneer, I think. And that's a conclusion I actually came to recently after trying a lot Blue-Black Control and Sultai Reclamation, which I think are good decks. I just always felt behind in the format. I felt like people would attack me from very different angles and I don't get many free wins. And I think Pioneer is a format that definitely rewards you for being proactive and dictating the pace of the game is what I would, how I would say it, I think.
Yeah, so I was going to ask you a little bit later then, what decks would you consider proactive? But I'll save that for the next topic. Mm-hmm. Kevin, did you have any questions about preparation?
Well, yeah, I do want to go a little deeper on some of what you're saying, because I'm really interested in the idea that you're going to take a couple of decks that you're really big on, hopefully ones that you're already at least a little bit comfortable with so that you don't end up with something unusual. But going through that and then seeing like what you're seeing in those 5-0 leagues, like just getting used to, well, whatever you're playing against in leagues and then taking that and feeling whatever feels comfortable, what feels like you're going to have a good shot. Do you have any examples? You know, we're probably not going to release this episode until Monday after your PTQ, so you're not spoiling the surprise for anyone if you tell us what you think you're going to be playing, or if there's any big decks that you're really looking out for this weekend.
So, for me, I did mention that I had success with Vampires recently. I think I both know the deck really well, and I think it's decently positioned, not as well positioned as it was like a week ago, but I think the metagame is good for it, so I'll probably just run this again. But I did consider two other decks, two and a half other decks, I could say. So Sultai Reclamation is a deck that I played in the past, and I played to some decent results, and I think you can tune it to a meta to make it good enough for the meta, but as I said, I don't think this deck is proactive enough, and I don't think it's giving me enough advantage compared to my other options. And then I'm always considering trying to learn like 5-color Niv-Mizzet, because I see the deck succeed a lot and a lot of good players play it. But I do feel that I need to put a lot of practice into this, and I only have 2 days now, and I feel like I have a good option, so I don't think I need to put the energy into that. But these are the decks that like are my probably like second and third picks for this event. I do think Jeskai Lucca is in a good position for this event, but I really hate Yorion, so I just really can't bring myself to play it.
Do you not like shuffling 80 card decks? Although it's a lot easier than Geo, of course.
Yeah, I don't know what about Yorion, just I don't find it appealing to play it, but maybe I should probably get over this and try the decks more, because if I see myself as a professional player, I shouldn't let this stop me. So this is definitely something I would like to explore in the future.
Yeah, at the same time, you know, I love to hear players coming on and saying that, hey, play what you know, like it's going to be strong, play what you're comfortable with, like that matters a lot in the format. So I always love to hear that, you know, sticking to your guns. And I do think that Vampires is going to be an interesting deck. We'll definitely have to follow how that goes for you, because would love to see that deck. You know, it has shown a little bit of prominence, you said, in the last week or so. And if that gets to be popular again, then pretty cool. Another way for the format to go in Black.
Yeah, that's great advice. Like you said, play what you know. Everyone always tells me, don't play this deck, even though you're like really good at it. Always play this best deck, and I hate that advice. I'm like, you know, just give me some tips on my deck, and they're like, no, just play this other deck.
Yeah, I think it's a thin line to walk, because sometimes the best deck is just the best deck. I mean, and we've seen this in Standard for a while now. Like, not now, but before the bans. If you weren't playing Sultai Uro, or if you weren't playing, like, Omnath adventures, you're probably just wrong most of the time. But I think that's like the extreme case, and I don't think that's the case right now in almost any format, actually, come to think of it. I think you need to find a deck that's like at least somewhat competitive, and then you need to know it really well, and then you're gonna get to like the high win percentage that you want to get to.
Yeah, I do think there's a balance. Like, Ryan, maybe play what you know, but if you only know jank, you're probably gonna end up with a jank deck. So that's just how it goes. And
that's me. I refuse to play these Uro decks and whatever.
Just about anything with blue in it.
Yeah, anything with blue. That's my big thing. I hate blue. I will never play blue. Every other color is fine. But anyways.
All right, where did you want to go next with questions there, Ryan?
Okay, so, yeah, he was talking about, you know, playing vampires and, you know, Sultai Reclamation and stuff. So that kind of already gets us started on the next topic. And I just wanted to get your kind of understanding of the current metagame, you know, when you look through decks, when you look through, like, the 5-0 list and what you've seen show up online, what kind of decks are the best in, you know, kind of each archetype right now? So if you don't mind me asking, for example, aggro, what are, like, the three best aggro decks in Pioneer at the moment?
Yeah, and just quick before you jump in with an answer is kind of what we were looking at it as. Like, we were saying, hey, we were preparing for a big tournament.
Yeah.
We would kind of want to gauntlet it out, be like, all right, if I'm playing this deck, I'm playing, you know, Team of Reclamation, what are the three aggro decks that I'm going to be worried about? What are the three, you know, combo decks that we're going to be worried about? You know, maybe it doesn't have to be that many, but you like to think, like, okay, I'm not just worried about being attacked with red creatures. It might be auras or black or, you know. I'll let you take it away, obviously, but just kind of to frame that and how we were looking at it.
Okay, yeah. So we can start with aggro, which I actually think right now is the most popular archetype, probably, because Burn has been on a big resurgence lately. Burn is a red-white. Do you want me to explain about the deck, or how do you want me to do this?
Just a word or two.
Like a summary.
Know, we've talked about a lot of these. Yeah. We try and do, you know, meta updates every once in a while.
Sure.
Might have been a little bit, and with the way the meta's been changing, just good to get an idea of what's big right now.
Okay, so Burn is definitely a deck that you have to keep in mind. It's been on a real, like, resurgence lately. It took down the PTQ 2 weeks ago, I think, and it's been top aiding like a lot of events. The deck is super fast, super punishing, and it can play the long game because it has lures. So you need to have a plan for the Burn matchup. It doesn't have to be amazing, but it definitely helps. And then
so an example would be
for what has a good Burn matchup? Well,
Vampires
has a really good Burn matchup. It's that's what happens when you play a bunch of lifelink creatures and cheap removal spells. But I think a lot of other decks in the format has a good Burn matchup. I think Oops All Spells has at least a fine Burn matchup because they tend to just take game one really easily. And you can definitely tune like your Niv list or Luka list to have a better Burn matchup by playing cheaper interaction and more life gain spells. I know Claudio has been updating his list to account for the Burn resurgence, and it's been working for him.
Okay.
And then the second deck you have to take into account when you're playing, when you're thinking about aggro, is Mono Black Aggro. It's not that Mono Black Aggro is the best deck in the format. It isn't, but it just has, it's just so reliable. It just has game versus everything. It comes at you with recursive threats, big threats, disruption, discard, removal spells, and you have to have a plan on how to win versus them. It's also, I think, the second most popular aggressive archetype, if I recall correctly. And then after these, you're probably in more of like fringe aggro realms where the decks change every couple of weeks. But right now, I would say Auras is probably the third aggro deck you have to account for. Deck is on the downswing recently, but it still pops up in tournaments, and Black-White Auras is definitely like requires you to interact on a very specific axis. So have a plan for this. Yeah.
Well, the Green-White is also really popular, right? It has the hexproof creatures.
So I don't know if it's actually popular. I like the green white deck, I think, has a very different has very different advantages compared to the black white one, because notably they have less lifelink creatures, which makes them worse versus the aggressive decks. But they do have more hexproof creatures, which means in a format where you have to goldfish more, like you just want to get a creature, put a lot of pants on it, and just attack for a lot, that deck is better. So I think right now black-white is a bit more popular, but it can change depending on the metagame.
That's a great image, by the way, putting pants on your
creature. I absolutely took it from modern bloggers.
So when you destroy their enchantments, do you say they're de-pantsing your creature?
I will elect to ignore this question.
Okay, so the aggro, those are three decks. What about like mid-range?
So mid-range, you have three big decks right now, and the first one is Mono Green Devotion. This deck has picked up in popularity because it actually, I think there was a super PTQ, and I think the finals was like Burn and Mono Green Devotion or something. It got really good results recently, which led to more people playing it. The deck is extremely fast, and it's like almost a combo deck at times. I'm not even sure it's a mid-range deck. I don't know where to put it, but...
Well, I was almost going to say, from what I've seen from those recent results, it's almost gotten more aggressive lately. You know, it's going back to some of the aggressive green stompy creatures, as well as still having that that Planeswalker plan.
Yeah, I think there are like a couple of different builds. The one I've seen most is the one that runs like Elder Gargaroth in the main deck. So I wouldn't really... This is why I want to call it mid-range. But it's like mid-range, but it wants to get to the mid-game by turn like 3 instead of, I don't know, 5. Which makes it really unique in that it can play the longer game, but it can also just like kill you on turn 2 or 3 if they have the really good draw. Which just makes it really powerful, meaning even if we're prepared for it, you're just gonna lose to it sometimes, and you have nothing to do.
Is it like the Tron of Pioneer?
I think that's a good way to put it, actually, because your plan versus them usually involves like stopping the first like ramp piece and then stopping the first threat, and then you can hopefully take over the game.
Good luck.
What?
I said, good luck with that. Yeah. Once that Nissa comes down.
I played some really unfortunate games today versus them where they drew 3 Hydras off the top after I took over the board, and that was really rough. So yeah, the deck is really strong. Can definitely just present as a lot of threats, and you have to answer everything.
Yeah.
So this is the first deck. This is the first mid-range deck I would say you should account for. And the second one is Jeskai Lucca. Jeskai Lucca won the showcase challenge a week ago. And the deck is just... People might look at a Yorion deck and say this is a control deck, but Lucca isn't a control deck. It's a deck that's just throwing out hammer after hammer at you. And their hammers are really good because they tend to involve stealing everything you play. Because they have Agent of Treachery. And the deck is not as clunky as it seems because it has the White Omen and some cheap mass removal spells. So it can compete even with the aggro decks.
So that's the Fires deck, right?
Yeah, I tend to call it like Jeskai Lucca.
Yeah.
Because that's like their main plan, but it's... It definitely has a few different plans. It has like Fires and Yorion and Lucca, and then just Planeswalkers. And the deck has a really high power level and been picking up in popularity lately.
Yeah, a lot of ways to attack people.
Yeah. It can present a few different angles, which are really difficult for a lot of decks to answer. And
third choice.
And the third choice would be just 5 color Niv. The deck has been a staple of the meta since Inverter got banned, I think, and even before that. And it's always a solid choice as long as you have a tuned list for the weekend, because that deck has tutors in it and you need to have like a really, really good configuration to have answers to like every threat your opponent can present.
And definitely, you know, we dragged Claudio onto the show a couple weeks ago, and he gave us a great breakdown of his current list and talked, you know, we talked for an hour about the deck, and we could probably bring him in a week later and half of his deck would have changed just because of how the nature of that deck works.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I actually just listened to the episode with Claudio, and it was amazing. because, yeah, Claudio is a master of the deck, and you did a really good job with explaining everything that was going on. And, yeah, the deck is really complicated, so I would recommend, like, checking that out.
Well, thank you, thank you. I'm glad you listened, and I'm glad. Hopefully this one's going as well.
Yeah. All right, so should we move on to combo next?
Yeah, so combo.
Is there any combo left?
Well, yeah, I there's like at least two pure combo decks in the format, and then there's one, which we're gonna get to in a second, I guess. Which I put under aggro, under combo, but we can talk about that. So like, the first one that is definitely popular, and you're gonna face it in a big tournament, is Oops All Spells. Which is a rather new deck. It only became available after Zendikar got out because you needed to the double-faced lens. And the deck is really strong. At first glance, I thought it would be just, you know, like this glass cannon. You can just defeat it however you want as long as you play hate.
Mm-hmm.
But in practice, this deck actually has like ways to fight through disruption, and it has like alternative plans. And it can definitely win games through hate. So the deck is like more resilient than it looks, and it's really fast and punishing. So this one is really popular. Just you have to account for it. Probably just run a couple of Solgad Lanterns in the sideboard as starters. And then the second combo deck in the format is Lotus Field Combo. But that deck has fallen, like its popularity has fallen a lot recently, mostly because Burn became so popular. And that matchup is just horrendous for them.
It's slow, right?
That makes a lot of sense, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like a turn, usually like turn 4 Goldfish, maybe turn 3 if you have a really good start, but Burn is just faster than you, especially... Mm-hmm.
And then Burn also has main deck hate for it sometimes with the Eidolons.
Yeah, exactly. Like you resolve an Eidolon and now they have to like wish for an answer and then answer it and probably... combo off of the same turn, it's not good. So this deck is like I don't think you need to run Damping Spheres in your sideboard anymore, but definitely keep it in mind because people will play it, and the deck is the best when people like me come and say don't play Damping Spheres in the sideboard. So that's like a weird thing of the meta.
It's okay. People won't listen until after the PTQ, so we're blessing you. You're not going to see any Lotus combo this weekend. That's my
please.
That's my blessing onto you.
Hopefully. And then the third deck, which is debatable if it's a combo or not, is Team Reclamation.
I was thinking that.
Yeah, because it's not exactly all-in combo, right? It can just play the control game. It has Uro. It has Sharks. But the deck definitely tries to do like one thing, which is get Reclamation. Generate mana, just do something really big and kill you. And I want to put it under combo because it has like some of the same upsides of being very good versus the midrange decks, but also just having more game versus the aggressive decks. So that's also an interesting choice. I don't think it's very popular right now, but it's something to keep in mind.
Yes, you have to be on a very specific plan to answer it, which makes it kind of combo-ish. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times you are casting one spell and blowing them up with Explosion, and that's just...
Yeah.
That feels like a combo kill when you do it. So I see that argument.
And if you have four Reclamations, untap. Tap, untap, tap, untap, tap, boom. Yeah, that's very combo-y.
Yeah. I have cast my fair share of Explosion for 20 converted mana costs or more, so...
Wow.
I definitely see it as a combo deck to an extent, but it's less all-in than the other ones we talked about. So that's important to note.
All right, last is control. What control decks do you see being in the format right now?
So control recently has focused on two main archetypes. The first one, which has existed for a long time, is Esper Yorion, or Esper Poob, as some people call it.
I don't know if I've heard that.
Yeah, can you explain?
Why is it called Esper Poob?
I Can't give you a good answer for that. It's a meme, right? It's like the people who created the deck. It's some sort of a meme around it.
Oh hey, what is it? You know, I'm just looking on MTG Goldfish following along. Looks like Mussy's got the list that they're using here as an example.
Who got the list?
He's an old friend of ours. Mussy 99, the player.
Oh yeah,
he's a an old friend of ours.
That's cool.
Used to play with us in Frontier.
That's really cool. So I think if you look on the list, like Killer SUV is one of the originators of the deck, and like Beel Sieve should be there somewhere. The deck is basically just a lot of removal spells, a lot of discard. It's like it's very different from Jeskai Lucca Yorion in that this is actually a control deck. You're actually looking to just take over the game slowly by trading cards, drawing cards. And the deck is just always a fine choice just because you have a high power level and you run discard and you run Oath of Kaya and Planeswalkers, and you can just answer everything. But right now, I don't think it's in a very good place in the format. I feel like it can focus on one matchup and just beat it because the format is pretty wide, and it doesn't have any matchups that it really preys on, I would say. I think the more popular deck right now is Sultai Reclamation. A few really strong players have been working on it, and it originated from like Wafo Tapa, and then it evolved from there. And the deck basically, unlike Teemo Reclamation, this is not a combo deck, this is a control deck. And Reclamation is just like an engine to generate more mana and like turn the corner faster, but it's not a combo deck. You don't have Explosion or anything like this. And I think this deck has a lot of merit right now. You can definitely tune it to like beat the aggro decks and then still have game versus like the midrange decks. So it's in a pretty good spot right now, but it's also a really tough deck to play and pilot correctly. The matchups, like the matchup versus five color Niv can easily go to like decking in game one and things like that. So I would recommend practice before trying it, and I would recommend testing versus good pilots if you want to see how your matchup looks like.
Like Harry 13.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah,
he's been tearing with this deck.
Another person we've had on the show a few times. Yeah,
yeah. So Harry has been
third. Sorry.
Yeah, Harry's been tearing like this week. He's been having a lot of success with Rek. So yeah. Reclamation. So the
third choice. Yeah.
So the third choice is kind of hard. I wouldn't really say there's like a really popular control deck. I have seen like third control deck. I have seen some more blue-black control, which is basically saying we're not playing Reclamation, we're not playing Uro, we just want good mana and like efficient spells, which could be a good approach in this aggro like focus format and like early turns format where you have to stop Devotion early and you have to stop Burn early. But there's no agreement about the build. I've seen a couple of different builds. Some of them have Thing in the Ice, some of them have you know, like Ashiok and Shark Typhoons as finishers. And I wouldn't really say it's popular right now. It's a deck that exists, but it's not big in the meta. So I would say probably just the first two decks are the ones you have to consider right now.
So I think...
Okay.
I was going to say, I think that kind of leads us into my next topic. So, you know, you had a lot of third choices there where you're like, well, it's not really that good, but, you know, you should respect it. So my next topic I'd like to ask about is, what decks do you think people should give a chance? I mean, it's not in that top tier right now, but, you know, you should try it out. You maybe it has some potential to be good. Like, for example, you're trying Vampires, which I would not think would be, like, a top-tier aggro deck. But, you know, trying out, you can get some success with it. Are there any other decks like that in the formats right now?
Yeah, so that's a great question. I think, so I want to put it in like two categories. The first one is, like you mentioned, Vampires. I think there's like three decks that if you pilot them well enough and you tune them well enough and you have plans, can definitely do well. And they are doing well. They're just not very popular. These are like Vampires and Rakdos Arcanist and Sultai Delirium. Which are all basically like midrange decks that have small creatures and run Thoughtseize and Fatal Push is how I would like, you know, identify them. These decks can like tend to have good to very good aggressive matchups because you're playing a lot of chip spells and chip interaction and you can turn the corner. And then you can probably beat some of the mid-range decks, but not all of them, because you can't prepare for everything and you can never go over the top of them. So you have to give up on some matchups. So with Vampires, I can tell you that I have a really good aggressive matchups, and then I have fine mono green and five color Niv matchup, but my Jeskai Luka matchup is really bad. So I'm saying I want to have like this spread of matchups, and I'm willing to take a hit on one of them to improve my other ones. And I know Jabberwocky has been, like, Jabberwocky is Logan Nettles. He's a really, really strong player. He's been crushing it with Sultai Delirium. And a lot of other strong players have picked up Rakdos Arcanist recently, but not a lot. Like, there are some players that are really dominant doing well with it, but not, it's not very popular, which is why I didn't mention it before. So this is one type of decks that you should like explore, especially if you enjoy these type of games, because these decks reward you a lot for playing them well, knowing them inside out, even more than like other decks, I think. And the second category of decks you should always look into in Pioneer is the fringe aggro decks. So we mentioned Auras, and we mentioned Auras has both black, white, and green, white versions, right? But other than Auras, you also have a lot of like different aggro decks that don't function like mono black or burn. They don't just deploy a bunch of small creatures and removal spells and they try to win this way. So an example for this would be Spirits. Spirits is an aggro deck, but it's a tribal aggro deck that has a tempo component to it. So in a sense, it's not going to be always good like burn and mono black are, but when it's good, it's going to be really, really, really good. And you can see that if you go, I think, 3 or 4 weeks back, there was one weekend where Traft, which is a Spirits Master, just took the deck and like top 8ed 3 events in a row or something.
Nice.
Yeah, that was insane. And then Pioneer has a lot of these decks. You have this, and then you have Izzet and Sol, which could come up at some point because it just has like randomly good matchups. And you have Humans, which have been popping up a bit more lately. So if you can find like the right aggro deck for a weekend, you can be really rewarded. But it's really tough to find one.
So you didn't really mention Winota is just not a good deck anymore?
No, it is. So I think it's definitely in this category. Like Winota and probably Gruul to an extent. Where, but more Winota, which just have a really strong proactive plan. And if you find this window where people can't interact on the correct axis, for example, now people are not running either gusts. Almost like you can almost like it's almost in none of the sideboards. So maybe Winota is like due for a comeback. The deck has its weaknesses because the mana base is not very good and you are like relying on, you know, random number generators. You just need to hit off Winota good enough to win games. But when you do, you can feel unbeatable. You can just kill people on turn 3 easily.
See, that reminds me of back when, you know, Aetherworks Marvel was good in Standard, and it's like, you know, that's a great deck, but I can't win with it. I don't have the luck to win with that deck.
Yeah, sometimes so you just have...
There's nothing.
What?
As like, when you look at 6 and there's nothing, you're like,
I think people say it about Collected Company, where like Collected Company is rearrange the bottom 6 cards of your deck, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, some decks are just like this, and I think you can be heavily rewarded in Pioneer if you find like a weak spot in the metagame and the aggressive deck to exploit it. Because one of the features of Pioneer is that you don't really have catch-all removal. You don't have Bolt, you don't have Path to Exile. Push is good, but you don't have Fetchland, so it's not as good as it's in Modern. So when you find like people, when you catch them underprepared for something, just like a combo deck, you can just have a really good weekend.
Yeah. I was going to say, would you say that Pioneer is in a good place right now?
I think it is. I mean, we just talked about, 10, 12 decks that you can play. Yeah. And like, I actually think every single one of them is viable to an extent. And I've been playing against every single one of them in the leagues and considering them for my for me to play in the tournaments. So I think that's a good spot. I definitely think that Pioneer, I'm a big proponent for unbanning Inverter. I think it was good for the format, but I'm also biased because I played that deck. So, you know, I'm in this weird spot. But I do think Pioneer is in a good pace right now. I do think they could do some things to improve it. For example, give us better lens for aggressive decks, fixing for aggressive decks. It's been holding decks like Humans and Band Collected Company back, and Winota probably. And I definitely think they could improve the format, but I think it's in a good spot right now, and I think it's a lot of fun, and it's really rewarding to put the time and energy into it.
It's good to hear. We were trying to get more people into the Pioneer format. That's our whole goal with this podcast.
That's a worthy goal. I'm all in for this.
So, Kevin, is it okay if I ask my last question, or was there anything else you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, please feel free. You know, this is a great kind of episode. I was going to say this later, but I always like these kind of episodes where we kind of get to sit back and just let someone who really knows the format have a free chance to talk everything they want to say. So this has been great. Keep going.
All right. So my last question for today is, what is your advice or your words of wisdom for people getting into Pioneer? So some of my friends are saying, isn't Pioneer a dead format? I'm like, no way.
No.
Or isn't it just standard, blah, blah, blah. So, how would you get people into Pioneer? What would be your advice?
So, the first thing I want to say is that I think, the last thing you mentioned, where people think this is on all the broken standard cards, and that's not fun for them. I think it's how you choose to look at the format. I mean, yeah, I don't like it when people play Fires of Invention versus me and just slam Yorion and Agent and they just lose all my permanents. Mm-hmm. But you can do something about it because this is not standard anymore. You actually have the tools to fight back if you choose to. So I think if you come into the format with a more, give it a fresh start, just say, I'm going to try this out and see what I like. I think that's a good approach to enjoy the format, which is what we are trying to do, playing Magic, which we can sometimes forget. I do that a lot, playing competitively, and you need to remember it's for fun. But more practical advice. Yeah, what?
I was going to say, what kind of mindset do you think people should have to play Pioneer?
So I think Pioneer, we mentioned it a couple of times. It's a format that really rewards you for knowing your deck inside out. I mean, just think back to the episode Claudio was on, and he knows the deck and he keeps winning with it. And it doesn't matter if the meta is prepared or not prepared. Once you know the deck so well, and the deck, as we mentioned, needs to be at least somewhat good to begin with. But once it is, if you know it really well, you can do well with it. So I think my advice would be, when you come fresh to the format, pick a deck you like and learn it inside out. And then you don't have to keep playing it, but just by learning it inside out, you're going to learn a lot about the metagame and how the play patterns look and how people tend to play different matchups. And then you can try and pick your way and find your way to a place you want to be at. You could just continue mastering the same deck you played, but you could also just branch out and try different kind of things. And because the format is an eternal format, but also rather small one, every new set means that the format changes a bit, but it's usually not complete shakeup. So it's somewhere between modern, which almost doesn't get affected, and standard, which just changes a lot, which I really like as a player because I get to use my past experience, but I also get to explore new different decks and updates to old archetypes. And I think that's really rewarding and fun, at least to me.
Yeah, and I think going back to the point that you made early that you're more of a tuner than you are just a brewer, I think that a format like this is great because in a format like modern, there's always a best card. There's a lightning bolt and you're not going to be like, oh, well, I think that this deck is good, so instead of Lightning Bolt, I'll play blank. It's always just going to be Lightning Bolt. But in a format like Pioneer, even just going from Mono Black Aggro to Vampires, that's a choice. And there's reasons to do that against different decks. So that's really a nice chance to kind of express creativity without being like, oh, I'm going to brew up my own whole deck list.
Yeah, absolutely. I can tell you that like a couple of days ago, I was talking to a friend about our Vampire sideboard, and we discussed like one removal slot for probably like 20 minutes because you have to figure out like what's the correct removal for the weekend. And this changes constantly. And you get rewarded for it, and you see it like when you play the games. So I agree, yeah. It's definitely a format that gives you the best chance to like try and find those little edges and express yourself.
I think...
So who won that argument? I want to know what the resulting removal spell was.
It was more of a discussion, not an argument, and we just ended up running okay. like 74 of the same cards and then one different card in the sideboard. And we both did well, so...
Oh, I like that. Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say another reason why I think Pioneer is in a good spot is that you can adapt standard decks, you know, good past standard decks to become a Pioneer deck. And you can also kind of take modern decks and kind of, you know, use like more budget versions that are available in the Pioneer format to kind of emulate that experience.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I can tell you that Sultai Reclamation, when I started like tuning it and seeing if I like it, I basically wanted to copy like the broken Sultai decks from Modern. And I've also seen players like experimenting with this kind of like prowess Scourge of the Skyclaves deck, which is basically saying this deck is crushing Modern, like Eight Shadow is really good in Modern, let's try and do this in Pioneer. And that's great. That's just keeping the format fresh every week.
Yeah, there's a lot of different, places to get inspiration. You know, if Standard's not printing good cards, let's look to Modern, and then let's see if we can port that over. And if Modern's not giving us anything, then, you know, we can take a look at Historic or whatever. So. All right. Well, Kevin, you have anything else, or do you want to wrap it up?
No, I'll reach towards wrapping it up. Like I said, this is a lot of fun. I like just, you know, getting different people to come in here and tell us about the format, because it really, like, nothing can tell you what the format is like more than experience. And we really appreciate you coming on, giving us some idea of really what's going on out there. Someone on the front lines, you know, I'm just looking forward to hearing more of how this goes for you this weekend. And I think I'm going to have to start following you. I don't think I am right now.
Ooh,
on
shame.
Twitch, but you said that you're a bit of a streamer here. So definitely going to have to be following that. Let me just quick go through. If you guys want to follow us, we are at MDG Pioneer. You can find us at MDG Pioneer on Twitter. We have some links to our Discord, to our, that's good. We've got our own personal Discord. We've got a subreddit that we kind of go through, as well as you can find our iTunes, however you're listening right now, Podbean.
Yeah.
Lots of good ways to reach us. Ryan?
You guys can find me on Twitter as well, at YoSchwenky, which is YoSchwenky. And Amit, do you want to get some shout-outs, some promotes, or whatever?
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter at EkarosMTG. This is EkarosMTG. And on the same handle on Twitch, I'm posting all of my decklists on Twitter and streaming 4 days a week on Twitch, including the big tournaments. So the PTQ, well, that's going to be before this episode releases, but big tournaments every week. And yeah, just thank you guys for having me. This was a lot of fun. I probably like talking about Magic more than I love playing Magic, which says a lot.
I know how that feels sometimes. All right, I just went ahead and followed you on Twitch, because I'm going to have to see that. Especially, you know, it is always, we're kind of a bit of an international show here, so I'll see what your time you're usually streaming is, but I bet it can't be anything too bad, because I don't really sleep.
And also, I just wanted to remind everybody that's listening at home, if you haven't followed us yet, please be sure to follow us. And if you've enjoyed the show and, you know, you want to share it with your friends, we'd also appreciate that, too.
Yeah, go ahead and shout us out to some friends, because, you know, we're trying to hit some goals here. We want to be like, okay, at a certain number of listens by the end of the year. Ryan's on me on that all the time. Mm-hmm. So go and tell your friends if you're enjoying this, if you like the guests we've been bringing on, you know, really getting a broad view of what the Pioneer format looks like right now.
Yeah, hopefully we'll have some more metagame discussions in the future with Amit.
Yeah, and hopefully this is also a good update for anyone who's doing their own testing for an upcoming tournament. Just get a good idea of what's going on out there in the wilds if you don't have time to spend day in and day out following pros on Twitch like Amit here. So anything else you got to really add before we wrap up the show?
No, I'm good. I had a lot of fun.
All right. I'm glad. Well, you're welcome back anytime. We're the MTG Pioneer podcast, the first pioneers. We like to be people's go-to source for pioneer information online. The first pioneers are signing off.